the party.
You're listening to Beyond Sight and Sound, live with Josh Kimmel and Leighton Harrington. If you want to be a part of our show tonight, call 419-549-5744.
Would you like to optimize your success out in the field? Metal detecting and gold prospecting, one word, Coil Tech. They've been manufacturing high-performance aftermarket coils for years now for popular models such as the E-Track, the Sovereign, the Explorer series, the GPX series, and our favorite, the 10x5 for the CTX 3030. Great target separation in trashy areas, still maintaining excellent depth for the coil size. Coil Tech is optimizing discovery, your potential for success in the field. You can check them out at coiltechmanufacturing.com.au.
All right, we're back. We're live once again. You're listening to Beyond Sight and Sound, Metal Detecting and Treasure Hunting Radio for you and all the other cool diggers out there that get into that sort of stuff, digging the relics and the treasure and the coins and the jewelry, especially the jewelry. I see Swansea's in the chat. He got himself a nice one today. And let's see, who else is in the chat? Oh, the Trooper Bry's in the chat, Steve, Mr. Bill, the Ohio Relic Hunter. Welcome to them wherever they hail from. Hopefully the weather's nice. Miss Barb and the Widda. How is it going, Leighton?
It's going pretty good. Going all right, buddy. Just got in from digging and we were out in the water. Nice night.
Nice. No mosquitoes.
No mosquitoes. Horseflies. We have horseflies.
Boo.
Yeah, and they hurt, too. And they will leave a welt, man. I'll tell you what.
Yeah, they
you ever
will.
See that, you ever see that episode of Gilligan's Island when he starts running on top of water?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. That's what I felt like doing today.
Well, I know the first time I was out there in Cape Cod, I got bit by one of them things. I thought somebody was trying to pierce my arm.
I'm telling you, you know, well, they have those, like, little slicers for teeth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what they do. They maneuver those things back and forth so they can suck the blood. That's what they live on. They love
yeah,
it.
Well, I put a stop to him pretty quick.
Yeah, well, good. Good. Hopefully it was before he left the mark.
No.
Oh, geez.
No, I carried the mark for a while. But, you know, and I've been bit by them things around here, but, man, that thing was... He was a little vicious.
Yeah. Well, you know, and it's almost like once they get a taste of you, they're very intrusive. I almost feel like they go and tell their buddies.
Right. Hey, check this one out.
Yeah, free meal. Free meal over there on, you know, on the beach. The guy with the detector. Go for him.
That's right. Can't miss him. Yellow headphones. Go get it.
Right. But, yeah, I was out in the water. I did okay. I had, I don't know.
14 Indians, 27 silvers.
Not one Indian today. Not one Indian. Well, I don't know. You know, I take that back. Maybe there is an Indian in there. I got about 8 or 9 real thin pennies. So there could be one in there. But I didn't notice it if it was when I dug it.
Right.
But I did get a few silvers. I got 2 bobbers today, and I got a couple of Merc dimes and... I did get a nice little lead creamer that looks like it came out of maybe Cracker Jacks or something. It's pretty cool. It's crushed a little bit, but, you know, those were the days when you could actually get a lead toy or trinket in a Cracker Jack box and not worry about licking it.
Yeah, see, that's what I was just going to say. Something's not right with this picture. We were mixing lead with food.
We were, you know, and a lot of people...
And kids were happy.
Well, that's why they were happy. They were half dead. They didn't realize it.
Yeah, maybe it wasn't the fact that they got the toy or the prize. That's just they were starting to suffer lead poisoning.
Oh, man. I'm telling you. You know... Oh, Jesus. You know, that reminds me, too. In fact, I remember going to the little bubblegum, you know, nickel arcade thing there. You put the nickel in, you spin the handle, and those little plastic things fell down. And if there was something in it good, you know, you always wanted the good prize that they showed, but you always ended up with a rubber ball or something.
Right.
But I do remember... you remember the siren rings? Do you remember those? You'd blow into the top of them and they'd spin and they'd sound
Yeah.
Well, I found part of one of those today too. I haven't seen one of those around in a long, long time. Of course, the top part was missing and the ring part was missing, but I could tell what it was. There wasn't much left to it, to be honest with you. But
well, clearly, if the top part and the ring part was missing, what did you find?
Well, I'm talking about the base part of it, you hot shit.
Oh, okay.
Oh, man, I'm telling you.
I'm going, wow, that had to have been a crummy signal.
Almost nothing.
Yeah.
Literally nothing there.
No wonder it was just a blip.
Oh, man. Anyway, I did manage to find it. I found whole ones, so I knew what it was when I found it. But I'll post it up later.
Nice.
So not a lot, though. I mean, a lot of junk in there right now. A lot of junk. But the tide was a minus tide. I did manage to get out there. The wind was offshore, so that helped out a little bit. So the only thing we got to really be careful about. I don't know if you know it or not, but I know I had touched base with you just prior to the show. We were talking about. Oh, you know, the flies and stuff like that, or even, you know, we were talking about mayflies and stuff like that real early. But, you know, we've got this virus that is prevalent in our New England waters right now. I don't know if you know that or not, but the norovirus is actually, although no confirmed cases have come from Mass, they're recommending us to stay out of the water. And don't you know, I didn't hear that warning until I turn on the radio and I'm heading home. Stay out of the water. Yeah, okay, thanks, bud.
Well, you were out of the water at that point.
Yeah, I was out of the water, but, you know, Jesus, now it's got me wondering, what the hell? I mean, you know, that's not good, right? It gives you, you know, dysentery and stomachs. Makes you sick and you want to throw up and
oh great.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, that doesn't sound like any fun at all.
Well, if you don't hear from me tomorrow by this time, yeah, give me a call, will you?
All right.
Jeez,
well, and if you don't hear from me tomorrow by this time, just wait longer.
Okay. I will. My goodness.
Oh.
Yeah. I'll tell you, and I wasn't the only one in the water. There were people swimming and everything today still.
Oh, yeah. Well, here, I think our water temperature is in the lower mid-40s.
Oh, wow. You're about 10 degrees difference than us then, already lower. We're in the 50s. Wow.
Yeah, so I don't know how much more I'll be out in the water yet this year.
Right. Well, I was in my bathing suit today.
Well,
had
at
no
least
wet.
The water was still nice enough for that.
Yeah, it was fine. It was fine. Like I said, I mean, you know, and it wasn't even really cold just getting in. I just walked right in and no problem.
Yeah, it's great, except for the neurovirus.
Yeah, exactly. That's scary stuff,
now,
man.
What brings that on around there?
That's a good question. I guess it's well, they're saying it originated in Rhode Island area, Connecticut area, and I guess it's going up and down the East Coast, so I really don't know. I don't know much about it. All I know is that it didn't really sound too good when they were saying stay out of the water. I mean, I've never heard that before. I mean, you know, occasionally we'll get red tide and stuff like that. They don't want you to eat the shellfish or anything. But, Jesus, that's, you know, eating shellfish is one thing, but staying out of the water without any kind of protection is
right. A different ballgame. Yeah, at least you're not on the West Coast where you have to worry about radiation or something possibly from Fukushima.
Well, you know what? Yeah, you're right. I think I'd what's the lesser of the two evils, right? I'll stay over here.
Yeah, I mean, sure, I glow when I come out of my mud puddle, but it goes away after a while.
Right, so, exactly.
Man, I don't know. It's everything's got a hazard anymore. What the hell?
Right.
I don't know. Well, and I'll tell you, I had hoped to get out more this weekend, but I've been so tired. I got out Monday for about an hour and a half, and that was enough for feeding the mosquitoes.
Well, you know, look, they have to eat too, you know.
Well, but for the size of them things, there's a local airport they can stop into. I mean, they already need running lights and tail numbers anyway.
One per foot.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I didn't even think I was going to have to figure out how I was getting home. I was just going to catch a lift.
Just strap a couple of those bad boys on your shoulders.
Nah, I was just going to sneak up on them, jump right on top of them, use one for each foot. It'd been like, you know, Peter Pan. I'd have been detecting with a hoverboard.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
But see, I didn't stay out long like that, though, because we've actually got a local village here that they've confirmed West Nile.
Oh, that's not good.
Mm-hmm. So I was thinking, this isn't such a grand idea, probably. But I did manage my hour and a half in the woods with no interaction with ticks or chiggers or banana spiders. Or.
Do you guys have banana spiders?
No.
Oh, okay. Just say that. Well, now you got me going.
No, no ticks or chiggers or, you know.
You don't have ticks?
Yeah, we've got ticks. Oh. I just didn't run into any.
Okay.
Now, I have been told occasionally that we may have, you know, a run-in with a brown recluse.
Okay, well, we have a lot of those here.
But, you know, as far as poisonous, venomous things, no, not really. It's just more inconvenience, annoyance, not to mention whatever gifts that they may be carrying. Like out on the East Coast, the ticks are carrying limes. Around here, I think some of them are actually carrying the Heartland virus. But
that's fairly new, right? That's the one that's stemmed from, well, I guess they call it the Heartland because of Texas, correct?
If I remember right, that we only started recently hearing about like a few years ago.
Okay. I don't even know if we have that here. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me, but you never know, I guess.
Right. I know that Lyme's disease seems to be more prevalent there.
Oh, yeah.
In the Northeast.
Oh, yeah. We have a lot of that. That actually, I think, over on the Vineyard in Nantucket and over in that area, it's so bad.
Yeah, I mean, either way, I mean, Lyme's disease, Heartland virus, West Nile, Zika, neurovirus, ain't none of it any fun.
No. What's the world coming to? All we want to do is detect. Jesus.
Right.
About stuff like that.
Yeah. What the hell happened to us being the top of the food chain?
You're right. Yeah, good luck with that. That's long gone, buddy.
Yeah, any great white will tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of that, did you see that, well, I don't know. I don't know how far this got out into the news, but in the Cape Cod Canal there a couple of days ago, there was a big, huge sunfish. Now, when I say sunfish, I'm not talking like your normal, you know, freshwater sunfish. I'm talking like hundreds of pounds.
Huge. And where was this? In the channel?
Yeah, right in the Cape Cod Canal the other day.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, this is the time of year when you see them. It seems like it's just after the real hot season and just before the coolness starts to really settle in.
Did you run down there and get some nice pictures?
I was not aware of it until after the fact. A buddy of mine runs one of the boats, the safety boats, took some video.
Oh, nice.
So it is on there.
Honestly, I haven't been following much of the news lately. I've been, unfortunately enough, I've been paying more attention to Russia and Yemen.
Oh, I thought you were going to say Trump and Hillary.
No, I don't even need to watch the debate. All it is you're a liar, you're a thief. You're a liar, you're a thief.
Which one do we choose? Which one do we choose? Well, we all know which one we're going to choose. Let's put it that way.
Step right up, folks. Welcome to the Halls of Illusions.
Wasn't that a song?
Keep hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times, please. Must be this tall to ride.
Yeah, that was, I think that was a famous quote there. I remember seeing that on a sign somewhere. I think the roller coaster. Hang on to your hat.
Yeah, exactly. So I've been watching that other stuff. I've been so tied up with other things and following that I don't even know what the killer clowns are up to this week.
Oh my God. Don't even get me going with that.
Although when I was out in the woods hunting Monday, all of a sudden I get a text from Tam saying, "It's getting dark, get out of the woods before the clowns come out."
That's not even right. Jesus, what the? Oh, man, we got to worry about the wood ticks and the mosquitoes. Now we got to worry about killer clowns? Shut up.
What the hell?
Oh, my God.
You know, I can remember the time, and I'm sure you can too, where you used to go to bed at night, leave the windows and doors unlocked and the windows open and everything else. Now you just about have to wonder if you need a home alarm system.
Listen, my door growing up was always open. In fact, we never closed it. We had the screen door open. That's how we went to sleep.
You don't do that crap anymore. That's asking to, you know, be in the next news section about a local murder or something.
Right. Yeah, not good.
And robbery, invasion.
Yeah, home invasions. It's happening more and more every day. It's sad.
People are crazy. I mean, of course, I don't have to worry so much when I'm out digging because, you know, most people stay away from me once they see my digger.
Hey, protection, buddy.
Right. I guess to those who don't know any better, the diggers that we carry can look fairly intimidating.
Just a wee bit.
Doesn't do anything for the mosquitoes, though.
So. I wouldn't want to get hit with one.
No, I wouldn't either. I imagine it'd suck very much so.
It'll leave a mark, that's for sure.
That's what I'm worried about. That's why I keep a hold of mine, so no one throws it at me. But that's the way it goes. But, you know, speaking of the mosquitoes and the ticks and the chiggers and, you know, all that nasty stuff, what do you do when you're out in the woods to keep them away?
Run. like hell.
Right. Well,
I actually use I use a lot of stuff that's got, you know what, as much DEET as I can possibly stand. Although I guess it's not that good for you, but
right, you got to watch absorbing too much of that through the skin, I guess. I mean, some people, they like to use, say, that deep woods off, and it seems to work good for them. I've been into some spots where I'm pretty sure those mosquitoes sit around a campfire and drink that stuff. Because it doesn't seem to faze them. At all.
Well, when they say DEET, or when they read DEET, or when they smell it, they say, sign me up.
Yeah, exactly. They're going, lunch. I mean, they're huge things. You know it's bad when you pull up somewhere and you can hear them hitting the windshield after you've stopped the vehicle trying to get to you.
If they're that loud, they're that big. That's not good, buddy.
Right. And in those situations, that deep woods off, nah, you might as well. You got a better chance of getting rid of a couple of mosquitoes throwing the bottle at them.
Oh, man.
Now, there is actually a product on the market that a lot of people know of, though, made by Sawyer, that you can actually treat your clothing. And it takes, like, I don't know, 6 washes to wash the stuff off. You know, so like you take your clothing out, you hang it on the line, you spray your clothing, you let it dry, and it treats those articles of clothing for up to 6 washes. That you can wear these out in the field then. You don't spray it on yourself, you spray it on your clothes. And the ticks and stuff actually die on contact.
Oh, wow. That's
yeah,
some good stuff.
So don't put it on your skin, and make sure you know what direction wind's blowing when you're spraying it on your clothes outside, because if the ticks are dying on contact, it's yeah. pretty safe to say you shouldn't breathe it either.
Yeah, I wouldn't be going around licking my arms.
Well, and, you know, honestly, I guess I never bothered to think about it, but if you happen to have pets that like to chew, probably not a good thing to treat your clothing with.
Well, so does it impregnate the fabric to a point where it's saturated? Or?
Yeah. I mean, because like I said, if you try to wash it off, it lasts up to like 6 washes.
Right.
So it's some pretty potent stuff. But it works great in the woods.
Uh-huh.
Now, like I said, though, I will premise that with, you know, if you have pets that like to chew, especially small pets, probably not the thing to treat your clothing with, because obviously a smaller animal would be severely sick if they ingested just a small amount. I would think, anyway. So, to be on the safe side, it's certainly nothing that you would want to do, you know, if you've got a small pet in the house that likes to chew on things or whatever, because we certainly don't want to test that and see what happens.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, we'll use somebody else as a guinea pig, right? Is that what
right.
you're really saying?
Yeah. I mean, because my dog's like, I don't know, 13 years old.
Yep.
I mean, she's got more gray than I do, I think. Who knows? But, yeah, I mean, it certainly wouldn't be good for her to ingest, I'm sure.
That's the dog, but what about, you have cats too, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you got to be careful for them too.
Right. Yeah, so I would imagine, not even if an animal's chewing, just, well, like, I know of, you know, some people, their pets like to lick. You know, lick your shoe, lick your jeans, lick your shirt pocket, whatever. I would imagine that they would ingest it that way, too.
Mm-hmm.
That's something you got to be careful of and bear in mind when you're doing that stuff. I mean, if you get a hold, because the active ingredient in that Sawyer is permethrin.
And,
that's
right. Yeah.
That's actually, in a lot of cases, when you see like these prescription-only treatments for like lice and scabies and stuff like that, permethrin is usually the active ingredient.
Right. That's right.
So it's a potent substance.
Right.
So it's something where, I guess, if you were to choose to go that route, you may want to make sure that you keep that set of clothing maybe, I don't know, hanging out on your back porch or down in your basement or something in the mudroom or something like that where your pets can't get to it. Just to be on the safe side.
Is that only by prescription?
No, the Sawyer brand that I'm talking about, you can actually buy right off the shelf at most department stores and stuff. I know Walmart carries it for it's not a whole lot. I think $10 or $12 for a spray bottle that'll easily treat one set of clothes, maybe even two.
Oh, okay.
But you can buy it right off the shelf like that.
Yeah,
I'm that the prescription stuff for other parasitic treatments is a stouter form of it, or in more concentration, possibly.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe it's got other nasty little chemical compounds in there with it too that help combat that sort of stuff. Now, Monday when I was out. Little daft on my part, I guess. I left the house with one of the pouches that I've been using lately. So I didn't even have any bug spray with me. Otherwise, maybe I wouldn't have even gotten bit at all, because it's not like the mosquitoes there were too bad. But once the sun started to go down, they came out of the woodwork. They just about escorted me off of the site I was hunting.
I don't mean to giggle, but I think that's pretty funny if you think about it. I mean, Jesus, I mean, we get big ones here, but, dude, we don't get them that big.
Well, I was waiting to see a couple of them. I wondered, they seemed like they were big enough. I thought they might have been carrying Uzis and shoulder holsters or something.
Oh, man.
I mean, man, they're terrible.
Right.
I mean, spot that I hunt that them things are just about worse than vampires.
I guess if mosquitoes are all we have to kind of worry about, I mean, you know, it could be a whole lot worse, right?
Right, yeah, I'll gladly deal with the mosquitoes over ticks any day.
I'll tell you this, not only that, but I'd rather have a mosquito flying around me. At least that I have a chance of swatting and killing. When you...
Right, you've at least got a fighting chance. How do you know about a tick unless you feel it drop on you?
Right, you don't. And, you know, they're so kind of like, I hate to use the term slithery, but that's what they are. They move so slow that you just don't feel them. They actually have a, on their underside, they can tell when they're over a vein. Or a pulsing area, so that way they know that's where to stop.
Yeah, that marks the spot.
That's it, right there for them, yeah, pretty much.
Right. So when I got home, obviously, they didn't throw the clothes off and jump in a shower, make sure you got no ticks.
Right. Well, I was going to say, here's the other double-edged part of the sword. I'd rather deal with, like I said, the huge mosquito issue that you have rather than like in May or June, the black flies up north. I'm sure Swansea can attest to it.
Oh yeah. I've heard the stories from him a few times.
It's actually ridiculous. I mean, yeah. I've been in a boat where I want to jump out of the boat. That's how bad they are.
Yeah, if I remember right, he's mentioned before they're big enough up there, you don't know if you want to take a swing at them or offer them a beer.
At this point, if they would stop, I mean, they'll bite you. They kind of sting. They don't. The thing is they all take turns. That's
right.
The problem. And there's thousands of them. I mean, literally black. You can see them across the lake or the pond.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I imagine maybe some of that stuff, like the Deep Woods Off or something, may help alleviate even those a little bit. Not to say it's going to be foolproof.
Right. Well, there was nothing I could, I mean, there's really nothing that you can put on either. I mean, other than a regular, just a mosquito spray, but they don't, it doesn't even faze them at all.
Right.
So you put the screen on over your head.
Yeah, that's what I was just going to say. One of the things that works really good for me, at least, out in some of these really infested mosquito areas like that, are the head nets and the mosquito jackets.
Yeah. Well, and, you know, and even that doesn't really work unless you zip them up and,
right.
You know, you've got your arms and it's okay. It's okay. But
it helps to combat it a little bit, at least, and really what's a head net cost, like? Couple bucks, $1,
oh, not
two
even.
Bucks.
Yeah, not even, yeah. You can get them for 69 cents, right?
Yeah, see, so, I mean, small price to pay for, I mean, it may seem like a little extra inconvenience, but it is a small price to pay for maybe a little added comfort in the field if you're going to be in areas like that. Now, like around here, as I'm sure is the case out there, hunting season's in, so a lot of us are staying out of the woods anyway.
Right.
Unless you so happen to have all of your nice orange gear, or unless your buddy that offered to have you come out and hunt with him last week when you found that nice honking gold ring wants to get out hunting again and gives you a nice new hat with antlers on it.
Yeah, well, a new coat with a big target on the back.
Yeah, exactly. Here, wear this so I can keep track of you. I don't know why people are chasing you all around. Run faster.
Well, I had a couple of people asking me about, just to switch subjects here a little bit, they were asking me about a picture that I posted a little earlier today. As soon as I got home, I kind of just was messing around with Facebook real quick. And one of the pictures, my background picture, I don't know if you noticed it or not. It was an older picture. And yes, those are some of the rings that I've found over the years.
Yes, I saw that picture. I believe you made it your cover photo?
Yeah, the background. Yeah, the background. And then I had the little, little picture there on the left with the 1812 button that I found mm-hmm. earlier this week. But
a lot of nice rings.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, those were the ones that were safely put back into the vault. At the
right.
So I just wanted to just let everybody know that, yes, those are some of the ones that I have found over the years. Not all this year. Can't take credit for that. Not all of them. Some of them were in there. So, I mean, you know, that's kind of like one of my boxes that I, if it's a special ring, it'll go in there, or if it's something that really catches my own eye, you know.
Or a special occasion, you might get
special
it out for the treasure
that,
show.
Yeah, stuff like that. Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, it's back under lock and key.
Lock and key and at the bank, where it belongs.
Yeah, lock and key, armed guard, security system.
Yeah, Doberman pincers.
Right.
He'll let me know.
Nice. Well, and it was a very nice picture. Those were laid out very well. Of course, you do very well with your displays.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, well, you know, there are a couple of really special rings. I've got a couple of nice ones this week. So
yes, you have.
Just a matter of time where they end up. It's some will end up in a box. Some will end up. Who knows? Who knows where they'll end up?
Right.
I know a lot of people comment on them. They like them. That's for sure. So. You know what? Every ring that I find, I can remember when I look back at them, where I found it, what the day's conditions were, how many in one day. Crazy. It's amazing.
As long as you stay out of the water.
As long as I stay out of the water and don't catch that virus, that's right.
Right. Well, and I hadn't even known that was an issue in that area until shortly before we went live.
First
I figured
time
about the worst you guys had to worry about was sharks and jellyfish and maybe water chiggers.
We don't even have chiggers here.
Oh, wow.
Jellyfish? Yeah, jellyfish, yes. Chiggers, no. We get sand fleas.
Well, I'm sure that wouldn't be any fun either. Yeah, and horse flies.
Yeah, sand fleas suck.
Well, that's certainly no good. I imagine in some cases that may kind of be, well, what was that, a couple of weeks ago when I was out looking for those deep targets? I wound up going after a signal and I don't know. It was one of them targets where you cut your plug, you flip it over, and you've got like a 7 or 8 inch plug there. And then you dip down in to cut your second level of plug because the target's that deep.
Jesus.
And a couple of minutes later, I'm like, man, what the hell? Something bit me. And I look down and just rolling up both of my pant legs and on both of my arms, I'm covered in ants.
Fire ants?
Apparently, I disrupted a colony.
Well, I was going to say, didn't you see them? But then I guess I can kind of answer that
question. Not until they bit me.
Yeah, right.
Then I saw them real good. They weren't very happy with me, and I was even less impressed with them.
Hey, at least we don't have fire ants here.
Yeah, so that was one of those where you got the target, threw your plug back in, and ran. And I hear that the fire ants absolutely are no fun at all.
No, I have disturbed them down south in Florida, and it's not funny.
How'd that work out for you?
Yeah, not funny.
Yeah. Were you... Well... You did say in Florida, so you probably weren't in the woods.
No, I wasn't. But, you know, here's the thing. When you're not digging with somebody that's local, you don't realize what you're getting into. But then when you get down there, you don't realize that you're actually digging up these little mountains of fire ants. And I'll tell you what, they can run pretty quick, buddy. And they're all over you.
Yeah, running up the inside of your pant leg and everything else. Man, that would not be any fun at all, I'm sure.
Well, and, like I said, they'll leave a mark and they will draw blood, too.
Well, and as far as I know, there isn't necessarily any sort of spray out there you can put on that keeps them away.
Right. And, you know, they give off this pheromone or whatever it is, and, you know, one gets a whiff of it. Next thing you know, you, like you said, got the whole friggin' colony.
Right, you're getting swarmed. Well, that's no good at all. Definitely not. But, yeah, for the most part around here, we just stick to, like, the deep woods off, stuff like that. We do use the permethrin, some of us do. It works well. Now, have you seen like these, like the little portable foggers?
Yeah. What about them?
Have you tried those?
No.
Well, save yourself the money.
Okay. All right. Well, that's a good tip right there for you folks. Don't buy it.
Right. Because those, you've got to have them on for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes before they start to make a difference anyway. And this is under the concept that the wind isn't blowing and you're not moving around. Well, we're out in the woods hunting. You know, unless we get into a real hot spot, we're moving all over the place.
Right.
So at that point, what good does it do us? It's just extra gear that we're carrying in the field that, you know, don't really necessarily need to be carrying.
Well, it's, well, like you said, save yourself the money. I'm not going to go buy it. You know what I do use is, like I said, every now and then, you know what I will do? I will take an old, well, I don't know if you've ever done this. Tell me if I'm far off, but you know what I used to do? When I'm done with the bottle of DEET, I'll cut it open and leave the bottom of it inside of my jacket just for the smell.
Well, there you go.
So that way it's always there. I mean, you know, you're not really, you don't have the liquid per se, but you still are getting that aroma from the bottom of the plastic bottle.
Right.
So
that's actually not a bad idea. That could help.
Yeah, oh, it does help. Absolutely. Yeah, so that's my way of, you know, getting my money's worth out of the bottle of DEET. And I'll cut it in half or pieces, and I'll put one piece in like my top pocket or a little piece down in my left pocket, and same with the right, whatever. You know, just enough to kind of keep the smell there.
Right. Well, and that's not a bad idea anyway, because some of these spray repellents like that aren't exactly cheap.
No, they're not.
I mean,
and
any of it will help us in the field, at least to some degree or extent, but still not necessarily cheap.
Right. Yeah, nothing's cheap anymore, buddy. You know that. It's the way it is.
I know.
Welcome to America.
Right?
It's not going to get any better either if a certain party gets into office. And listen, hey, for the record, I won't say any more after this unless you provoke me. Anybody who's willing to give money back to another country, I'm just saying, now hear me out. I can see you already smirking.
No, it's because I know where this is going. I'm watching the chat.
Yeah, you're damn right. You know what? I'll tell you what. Somebody that's willing to give money back to another country after we found, located, excavated,
and recovered,
and, you know, listen, I'm all for finders keepers.
And was slick enough to get it back here to the States, and everybody going, how the hell did they do that?
Yeah. So, with that being said, this person, I am assuming, doesn't really care for the detectorists. I mean, we fall in that same category as a treasure hunter.
Right.
So, you know, does that mean that that's a prelude to what could happen to us smaller guys?
I think so.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, you got treasure hunters that are finding these bulk ships with thousands of coins. They get excavated. They get sent back to another country.
Right.
And they're all happy about it. Are you, oh my God, I'm beside myself already. I thought I had a headache before. I got one worse now thinking about it.
Right.
So my point is, I'm not voting for her. Sorry.
Had a little bit of a frog in your throat there.
Yeah, just a wee bit. All set. So, okay, I said my piece. I'm not saying he's any better, but can't be any worse.
Right, right.
We'll go with the flow and see what happens.
Well, can't be any worse than what we've been dealing with. Well, within reason.
Right.
I mean, depending on how the cards are played out, I can see it going pretty bad.
Don't even tell me.
Just saying. Just
it's sad.
That out there.
It's sad. Listen. What the heck was that?
Yeah, I heard it. What was that? Kind of like point for you?
Buddy, I have no idea.
Damn, I'm up one.
Yeah, right. Oh, man. There you go, Bob. There you go. Yeah, I don't know. Listen, I don't even know where to go with that. I mean, I won't lie. I know where to go with it. I'm not sure everybody would like to hear it. But
is it something we need to save for Sunday?
Yes. Oh, yes. Maybe we can use that as the banner.
Right.
I got a good one for you. Hey, let's see who's good on this. All right, everybody out there, hear me out. So they're going to make a new movie.
Okay.
We got Hillary and we got Trump. What's the name going to be that you can think of from an old movie that would suit the new movie with them as stars? And I'm going to just go up there. Okay, fair enough. That's a good one. That's a good one. But I'm going to go with Dumb and Dumber. I'm just saying.
Right. Let's see here. 828, you're live.
Yeah, I'm going to get you off the politics.
We didn't mention anything about an Indian.
No.
Yes, you did too.
Well, but that was like so 20 minutes ago.
That was like 35 minutes ago.
See, she does listen.
You're doing
she
right,
does.
I do. Pat, they mentioned Indians just for me. I love them.
Well then,
Barb, did you catch the last question? Did you catch the last question I just threw out there?
Oh no, because I lowered my volume while it was ringing.
All right,
nice, such a good caller.
That's
I
right.
I always do that. I call the minute it rings, I lower the volume.
Good girl. All right, so hear me out. Here's what I threw out there a few moments ago. We got a new movie coming out, and the stars are Hillary and Trump. But we need a name. We need a name from an old movie that would suit the new movie. And Josh said Collateral Damage. I came up with Dumb and Dumber. What's yours?
Bend over or get on your knees. I don't know.
No, we need a real one, a real movie, unless that's a movie that I've never seen. I don't know.
Grumpier Old Men.
Oh, my God.
Oh. I don't know. I don't know if there's something that dumb.
Well, like I said, Dumb and Dumber, right?
No, it's worse than that.
I know. There's a lot of good movies there that it could fit, but I just throw that out there for the folks.
I love it that I'm speaking. Doesn't happen often. Oh, somebody just put Idiocracy. That's good, too. Alien versus Predator. That's even better.
I know. I know, huh?
Yeah, Predator might do it. That would do it.
Yeah, Predator's a good one, too, yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably have to look up porno movies. It'd be something appropriate that would fit them both, I'm sure.
I'm telling you. Boy, I'm sure there's a lot. The more we think about it, you know, I'm sure we can come up with something. Bob's out there saying Godzilla versus Mothra. Now he's showing how old he is.
And what's sad is my parents were huge Bill Clinton fans. I mean, my parents used to party it. It didn't matter who was running. They were going with the party and they loved Bill. But they freaking hate Hillary.
Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not a fan, to be honest with you, but it is what it is. You know, that's what we've got to choose from.
Yeah,
so.
There you go. That's a very political way to put it.
Right.
It is.
Right.
It boils down to the lesser of the two evils.
Well, that's what we're talking about. It's like we don't have a lot to choose from. What we have.
Hey, Josh. Is this Josh?
Drop the volume there, caller.
Okay, just a second. Sorry. Are you guys live tonight?
We're always live. Wednesdays and Sundays.
How can I find you guys?
I'm sure you can find a link on Layton's page, the Beyond Sight and Sound group, the Beyond Sight and Sound Facebook page, the Ohio Relic Hunter group, or even my timeline.
Okay, well, I looked on Beyond Sight and Sound. I couldn't find a link. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
I'll post it.
Wow.
Hey, are you live?
I don't know. I think so.
Well, I just posted the link to the page.
Well,
on your page.
Ah, well, there you go. On the Beyond Sight and Sound group?
Uh-huh.
Well, there you go. Maybe that'll work then. And I guess that's a good time to mention, too, for those that do like to keep track of the show. If they just like and follow the Beyond Sight and Sound radio page on Facebook or even on Blog Talk, there's a little button that says follow, and you'll get email notification.
There you go.
Yeah.
It's, this is a technological age, but it's not rocket science. It's pretty easy to keep track. And there are a number of listeners out there, including yourself, Barb, that they like to share the link for us, which is great. We always like to see that.
Yeah, I try to do my best, but I did have a hard time in the beginning, but once I bookmarked it on my computer, I go right there with no problem.
Yeah,
people don't realize you got to wait till the show starts, and then there it is. There's the link. Sometimes if you click it beforehand, you don't get anything.
Right. Well, we like to be a little under the radar, so to speak.
Yeah, we like
No, you don't.
Yeah, then all of a sudden, just bam, there we are, out of nowhere.
But honestly, need to get back bugs instead of... I don't know what, they're not bugs. The people in the White House and running for it are not bugs. They're just critters.
I don't know. Parasites are bugs, too.
Better parasites. I like that. But really, after what I've gone through, and I'm not going to go into it because most of the listeners have heard it all, but I'm going to tell you what, guys, protect yourself. Use something. Know what in your area, what can get you. I got a Georgia chigger that took me over a year to get rid of. Every remedy didn't work. That normally does, because where it was on my belt line, my pant would rub the nail polish or whatever I put on it, and it took me a year to get rid of that critter.
Right.
So know what you're dealing with. Fire ants are the worst. I've treated firefighters that worked a wreck and came into the ER in anaphylaxis because of fire ants. So whatever is in your area, protect yourself. That's all I can say.
Right. Well, and even the simple things like poison oak and poison ivy. A lot of us are fortunate enough to not be allergic to it. But just because you're not allergic to it doesn't mean that one day you could be.
Oh, and you will be.
So I try to err on the side of caution, so to speak. The last time I had any interaction with it, I could stand right in the middle of it, roll in it, whatever, and be fine. But that doesn't mean I push my luck.
Did you get it bad as a kid?
Did I?
Yeah.
No, not that I know of.
Oh, well, one day you're going to get it, so don't roll in it no more.
Oh, no, I try not to. It's not like I go out and go, ooh, poison ivy, yay.
Well, I got it really bad as a kid, and now I can roll in it and literally not get it because I've built up all those antibodies to it. And so it doesn't affect me anymore. I make it one little dot if I walk and roll in it. But digging, I make sure I wear gloves in the winter because you can't tell if it's poison ivy roots or not.
And absolutely, correct, and that root still holds the oil.
Oh, tons of it. And you get that on you, you will have the worst case you ever had. And even somebody like me that doesn't get it from the leaves, you're going to get it bad from that oil.
Yeah.
And so in the winter, I hate gloves, but once everything dies back, I've got the gloves on the minute I start to dig, because that will be the worst case you ever get if you dig in it without gloves.
Mm-hmm. And you'll think you're fine, but it'll show up. I mean, there were, that's been about 10 years ago now, where there were a group of us out digging in the woods. It was in the cooler months, you know, things hadn't grown up yet, so many of us didn't even realize we were in an ivy patch. And I was one of the fortunate ones that didn't catch it, but everybody seemed like they were fine. Everyone went home, and within a week, you started seeing posts that they had poison ivy. And for, I'd say, from a week after the hunt to 2 weeks after the hunt, there were a number of people posting how they had caught poison ivy from the root.
Yep, I went to South Carolina for Foo Fest a year ago, about 14 months ago, and we were at, one of the hunts was out in the woods, and I got home, and like a day or two later, I'm like, oh, crap, what in the hell do I got? And I started Googling bed bugs, because I'm like, did I get bed bugs staying in that crappy quality inn? And God, somebody posted a pic and said, oh, man, look, I don't know what this is. You know, is it bed bugs? Is it what? And it wasn't poison ivy, so it must have been poison oak, which is, looks different. And I'm like, oh, I got that same stuff. So I was like, what hotel did you stay in? And it was a different hotel. And then somebody else was like, yeah, I got it. And everybody's posting pictures. And I went, did y'all hunt in the woods at Foo Fest? And they're like, yeah. I said, I think we all have poison oak or poison sumac. It ain't poison ivy, but it's one or the other. And then I felt better. At least there ain't bed bugs, you know.
Right, yeah. And you can be not allergic to, say, poison ivy, but still be allergic to oak or sumac.
Yep, and they look different. They don't look the same.
Right. That's a good point. That's another thing that we have to keep an eye out when we're out there in the dense growth like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, really, if you hate gloves in the winter when you don't know what you're digging in, you don't know what that root is. It could be sumac, it could be oak, it could be ivy, it could be anything. You got to wear gloves in the winter.
Right. A little bit of prevention like that takes you a long way.
Well, because if you've never got it, one day you will get it, and it's going to be the worst case you ever have.
Yeah. Well, and I take that back. Maybe I did have it as a kid or something, although I honestly don't remember a whole lot from my childhood. I guess I've been hit in the head too many times.
Well, my brother chased me around the yard with it, poison ivy, knowing I caught it so bad. And, of course, I was screaming. I was like 7, and my parents came out yelling at me. And all I did was point at him, and he got the biggest ass whooping of his life because he could roll in it and not get it. And he was about 23 when he got it so bad because he thought nothing of it. He just kept playing with it. It was like, oh, I ain't getting it. He got it so bad, and he whined to me, and I said, karma, baby. That's all I can say. God got your back.
Yeah. Every now and then I'll have people tell me, well, hey, you're not allergic to it. Can you remove that stuff from along the side of my house? And, well,
no.
Yeah, I suppose so. But there again, the first thing I do is grab a pair of gloves.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Well, those are very good points, too.
And it's just prevention. And, you know, after getting Lyme, I'm like, once you have Lyme, you have it for your life. So this is like now just waiting to see the ramifications of, is my joint pain going to go away? Are my feet killing me? It feels like I have red hot pokers in my feet. Will that go away? It could take 6 to 12 months. So I'm just praying it all goes away. But you can get it. There are different strains out there. So, you know, my specialist said, well, once you get it, you can never get it again. Yeah, because I have it.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't go away, but there's other strains. So don't think, well, I got Lyme, so I can't ever get it again. Yes, you can. And so you've got to be diligent and protect yourself. And I was stupid. I wasn't in my right mind. I grew up there, never had a problem, never thought that it's worse now than it was, you know, 30 years ago. And you guys have got to protect yourself.
True.
I don't want anybody to go through what I went through. It's the worst thing I've ever had happen.
Right, yeah. I mean, I've been fortunate enough not to have to deal with it, but from everyone I've talked to who has, it's no fun at all. They just, you know, tell everybody err on the side of caution because you'd rather not have to experience it.
You don't. And it's, you know, and when I got the bullseye, I had the paramedics I work with look at it, and they're like, it's Lyme. And then they were like, but it looks a lot like brown recluse. And they're like, when I told them I had Lyme, they were like, well, that's better because you'd probably be getting skin grafts in by now. And I'm like, a brown recluse is almost worse, except, you know, once it finally is resolved, you know, but the brown recluse actually necroses your tissue, the poison in it. Your tissue just dies and you end up with this big gaping wound that they have to do skin grafts on. And I'm like, I don't know where it's on my hip. I think the brown recluse would have been worse for the initial, but the Lyme worse for the long term. So you just don't want to do it. Spray your clothes, treat them, you know, do what you got to do so you don't get any of this junk.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. I agree. And the way it sounds, you got to be careful out there.
Yeah.
Make sure you're taking care of yourself, Barb.
Oh, I am. I'm going to DIV if I have to crawl across the field with my detector pole behind me. I will be there.
Now, that's determination. That's what we like to hear.
This is my vacation. I've had people say, you really going to go? You know, you're not up to par. And I'm like, I'm going. I could die in a car wreck tomorrow. I'm going. If I have to take breaks and sit on my damn butt and, excuse me, take 20 minutes and then go back at it for an hour, it's what I did in Ohio. Swansea can tell you. I was so sick. I was there. And I looked at him. I said, buddy, I just got to sit down. And I did. So I'm going to take my breaks. I'm going to go dig, take some breaks. And hopefully we'll have a good cold snap that there'll be no critters that I have to treat myself for.
Right. Yeah, definitely. make sure you get your rest. Don't push yourself too hard. That way, hopefully, you can get yourself some good relics at DIV. And I know that... our buddy Chuck Smalley will be there, too. If you run into him, tell him we said hello.
Oh, I will run into him.
See,
I got a car with a sticker with his name on the front. No, I'm kidding. I know, I'm bad. But, no, there's a lot of people going. It'll be a great time. So I just had to call him because I think, you know, as a nurse, I was stupid. I should have known better. It's just I wasn't in the right frame of mind with my niece's funeral the day before. All I could think of was I need a mental health day. I want to go detect. They gave me permission to hunt probably an acre or two of land. And I just played in the woods for 4 or 5 hours. My mom stopped by. We talked. Went and seen my dad in the hospital afterwards. It was just, I just needed, you know, when you mental detect, you're in your zone, you're listening, and everything in the world is gone. And that was what I did, and unfortunately, that's the day that I got bit.
Right. Yeah, that's unfortunate. I think a lot of times, maybe we just, you know, we get caught up in things and we think, well, yeah, I know the potential is there, but it won't happen to me.
That wasn't even it. I was just, you know, just so distraught losing my niece, and she's got three young kids and two dirtbag dads for the two youngest. And we were talking to lawyers. We had to talk to lawyers the day after the funeral to get custody of these kids, which we're still battling. And so, you know, it's like, who's paying for the lawyer? And it was just so complicated that, and my mom, poor mom, my sister's useless, her mom. And so I'm going from my sister's to my mom to cook for people. And I just, like, I need a day to just zone out.
Right.
So I just never thought, I'm going in the woods. All I could think of was, I just need to get away from everyone.
Right.
And so you need to think, yeah, in that kind of atmosphere, you need to think, do I need to do anything before I go out there?
Absolutely. Sometimes it pays to take that extra minute and, you know, wait a minute, this is where I'm going. What do I need to do?
Exactly. And I wasn't in my right frame of mind, and all I could think of was, get me the heck away from everyone, you know, everything for a couple hours, and then I'll deal with it when I'm done, you know?
Right. Well, you know what they say, hindsight.
And that's exactly what it is. So, you know, I think we all should have a checklist. I'm going to Texan. I'm not in my right frame of mind to Texan list or something. I don't know, you know.
Right. Yeah, it certainly couldn't hurt for some of us. I know I get a little scatterbrained, too, when I'm fixing to head out to hunt. Because
yeah,
I'm not... You know, I'm just going, okay, I got my detector, I got my digger, I got my pouch, let's go. I got to get out there and dig.
Right, and I think we all need to have this mental checklist. I'm going digging. What time of year is it? Do I need to protect myself? What do I need besides my detector and digger?
Right, right. Yeah, I know it's pretty much the same way when Layton heads out, too. It's like, hey, it's time to go dig, let's go.
Yeah, giddy up and go, buddy.
Right.
And I'd worry more about Layton if he's going out water hunting and was in the kind of frame of mind I was. You know, I just need to get away from everything. Is he going to be safe out there in the water?
Right.
So when we're distressed, maybe that's not the best time for us to go hunting.
Yeah, well... But, like you said, it certainly is a way, a great way to relax.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know.
Get your mind off everything.
Yeah, absolutely. It's six of one, half a dozen of the other. Sometimes, apparently, it doesn't work out so well for us in the end as we had hoped.
But I did find a lot of clad. It didn't pay for the hospital bill, but, you know.
Well, it would have been nicer to have had a couple of fat gold rings then.
I know. Somebody obviously has hit the place before.
Well, I guess apparently you didn't hit that copper tag that said Widow was here.
That's right.
Oh. No, he didn't leave any there.
Mm-hmm. Wow, he was in a hurry to get to the next spot, apparently.
Uh-huh. Yep. You guys are great. I appreciate you putting up with me, but I'm just a real big advocate about this now going through it.
Right, yeah. Well, and it is out there, unfortunately, and it is another thing that we have to remain aware of.
Yep.
Because it's no fun. Many of us have other issues to deal with as well when we go out there, or other hazards that, you know, it's hard to keep track of all of it when we are out there in the field sometimes. So it's good to bring that up every now and then to remind everyone, hey, you know, you're not immune. It could happen to you, too.
And that's it. It can happen to anybody. And, you know, I hear people that go out in the woods alone, and I'm like, don't be so stupid. You know, I mean, I hunt alone, but when I'm hunting, I'm in parks or in, you know, fields that are near a road, visible. I'm not somewhere where if something happens, there's no one around.
Right.
And, you know, you could be out in the middle of the woods and get stung by bees, and yet you've been stung by them 20 times before, but guess what? This is the time that you go into anaphylaxis.
Right.
And no one's around.
Yeah.
And so I think all our wood hunters should carry an EpiPen.
Mm-hmm. I recommend them too, yes.
I carry two with me at all times. I'm allergic to bees and nuts, so they are in my pocket, my pouch, all the time. And if I don't need them, there might be somebody else out there that does need them. And,
that's a good point.
You know, I might be hunting with you and you get stung and you go into anaphylaxis. Guess what? I'm going to use my Epi on you.
Right. That's a good point. And that is something, like you said, especially for like the woods hunters, the cellar hole hunters, the relic hunters, because many times when we're relic hunting, it takes us into the woods.
Big time. And so, you know, I recommend if you're in those environments, do not go alone, and, you know, make sure that everyone has a cell phone, and somebody in the party does have an EpiPen, because you never know when it's going to hit you.
Mm-hmm. Or, you know, the times you may kick up an underground beehive, or worse yet, you're stepping over some logs and slip and break an ankle.
Exactly.
You just never know.
And it happened. And, I mean, I had actually a patient years ago who was out hunting and started to have a heart attack. And he had an angina. He had a bad heart to begin with. And he, thank God he had cell service because up here we don't have a lot, and was able to get somebody out there and get him an ambulance and get him to a hospital.
So he was able to get help to him in time.
Yes, he was.
Okay, that's good. That's good, because especially in some of the wooded areas and the hillier areas, sometimes cell service can be a little sketchy.
Yeah, probably the it isn't funny, but it is in a way. I teach nursing, and it was their last semester, and we were doing simulation. And I gave them an anaphylaxis scenario. And my student opens the crash cart and grabs the Epi trainers, their trainers, and gives it to the mannequin. And I went, whoa, stop right there. Look at what you just did. And he had the EpiPen upside down. If it had been real, he would have gave it to himself instead of the patient. And so I said, he just got Epi. Somebody needs to treat him and now give the patient some Epi. And so after class, I said, you're going to stay here till you learn how to do that right.
Right. And we're going to do it until you get it right.
And he said, what's funny is I carry one and I don't believe I gave it wrong. I said, so what, you know, you need to know how to do it right. It tells you the steps on the EpiPen. One, do this. Two, do this, three, do this. It's simple. And he did it. And a week later, he sent me a text and he said, thank you so much for saving my life. I was out hunting in the woods and got stung by bees. I not only had to give myself Epi once in the woods, but driving to the hospital, I had to give myself a second shot.
Wow.
And
but just goes to show, sometimes you never know when that information will come in handy. Even some basic first aid skills are good for any of us to know.
Right. And so we need to have a medical show.
That's right. We do, because you'd be surprised. Well, I guess in your trade you may not be, but a lot of people would be surprised how many people don't even understand something as simple as, say, a basic just CPR.
Or a basic, I fall down and land on a log and cut my leg open, and I'm bleeding and it's pumping blood. What does that mean? It's arterial.
Tourniquet.
Right.
What do I need to do about it so I can get the hell out of here and save myself?
Tourniquet.
Yeah.
So that's something you might think of down the road.
Or step on your neck, one or the other.
Absolutely. It sounds like a good thing to do sometime over the winter. It's always handy for hunters to carry a length of paracord with them.
Simple things. Dressing.
Yep.
DIV, somebody sent me a checklist, and so I have a small medical kit with bandages, band-aids, dressing, all that kind of stuff that I carry in my bag with me.
There you go. If something goes wrong at DIV, they'll be in good hands.
Well, and we have medical there, but I have triple antibiotic cream, I have cortisone cream in case poison ivy. Just, you know, they're little tubes. So you can stick a lot in a Ziploc bag, and you've got a nice little medical kit.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm a big fan of the little MineLab first aid kits.
Well, I haven't seen one of those.
But still, you know, sounds like Barb's going to be quite the den mother for the DIV diggers.
And full of paper.
Hey, you never know.
Hey, I'm going to tell you what, that porta toilet's a long way away.
Very true. Very true.
They
good
only
point.
Had them in one spot on 10 acres last year, so guess, or 20 acres.
Oh,
guess
grief.
What?
That's a long way.
Yeah, and I can tell you the guys got it made out there.
Well.
And when there's, last year, I think there was 490 guys to 10 women. So it was, is there anybody around?
Right.
A half mile to that portalet again.
Right. Keep an eye out for me. You know, you say last year it was 490 to 10?
Yep.
It'll be interesting to see how many women are there this year, because I expect you'll see that number rise.
There's 433 signed in for the hunt, and I haven't checked because they added some people, but we're up to about 15 women, I think.
That's great to see. Good deal.
And somebody's going for the first time. I said, bring your toilet paper, or you can shake, whichever you want. And she was like, excuse me? I said, the porta toilet's a long way to go.
Yep. Well, see, you can tell her, learn from my experience.
Oh, yeah, I was like, okay, where is there a woods?
Right. Good point.
And that's, you know, I mean, and I walked up on a couple guys going, okay, they came out here for the same reason I did. But it's like, I finally looked at some guys and said, I got to go pee. Will you please make sure nobody comes in the woods?
Right.
I said, you going to drive me to the portalet? It's a mile and a half down the road. And then they thought about it. They went, no, we'll make sure no one comes in the woods.
Right.
Then again, you got to make sure. Don't put your butt near no old poison ivy.
Yeah, let me tell you, I've heard from a few who have done that too, and that is definitely no fun.
And guys can get it worse, because guess what? You're going through the brush. You don't know if those vines on those trees are poison ivy, poison oak. And so, you know, you go in the woods to do that. Wear your gloves going through, and then take them off when you get there.
Right. Well, personally, I'd rather not even think about that.
I know guys that have done it and told me about it, and I'm like, TMI.
Yeah, well, they pay for it, too.
Yeah, it's like they have to tell you the worst story of their life, you know? Well, I went in the woods, and I got poison ivy, and I put it on my thing, and I'm like, EMI, I'm sorry for you, but You know, if you're a digger, wear your gloves going in. Don't take them off. Throw them on the ground. And then take care of business. Then put them back
right,
on.
Right, then put them back on.
Yeah.
Well, but usually, I can say in that particular scenario, those who I've talked to that have been unfortunate enough for that to happen to, it only takes once to learn.
Oh, yeah. And the good thing that people need to do is I always carry a small bottle of hand sanitizer. It's got alcohol.
Yep.
And it isn't the alcohol that kills anything. It's the friction. And it'll kill all that other stuff, too. So always keep some hand sanitizer with you.
That's a good idea.
Yep.
Definitely.
Well, there's two fools on my TV. I guess I might want to listen to them. I haven't decided yet.
You're a liar. You're a thief.
I should be a lawyer. I could sue them both for something. I don't know.
Right. Well, I guess you might want to figure out if you want to see what they've got to say.
Yeah, so you all have a good night. I love you that you let me come on again. One of these days you're just not going to answer. You're going to say, it's that 828 person. We're not answering that.
No, we take everyone's calls. Well, when we're able.
I love you all.
Well, thanks for the call, Barb.
All right, y'all have a good night. Love your show.
You too.
Bye.
Have a good night.
There was a lot of good information there, and she's right. You know, it's been a while since we've done anything about, first aid gear or anything like that. We should probably do that topic coming up in the cooler months.
Yeah, not a bad idea.
Right.
I mean, I carry that with me, too, the hand sanitizer and, the Band-Aids and gauze and even smelling salts, believe it or not. I have those in there just in case, you never know. And, not that I would ever administer it, but I actually even have a nitro pill in there. Of course, that's not something you should, you know.
Right, yeah.
But I'm thinking for my own self if something happened.
Right. Well, and another thing you got to keep in mind with that stuff, too, is you always want to make sure you keep that little first aid pack stocked and with fresh stock. Sometimes these pills can kind of lose their potency, I guess you could say. But, yeah it's always a good idea.
I guess some pill is better than no pill. Right.
That's true. I even try to carry like a number of the alcohol in my kit too, just in case you get a cut or something. You don't want to it's not bad enough to quit hunting or anything, but you'd like to clean it up a little bit, throw a Band-Aid on it or something, and keep going. Or even the hand sanitizer would probably work. I mean, anything's better than nothing, even if you're just pouring some bottled water over it or something to get the dirt out of it until you can get home and get a better look at it.
Yeah, take proper care of it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because anymore, it doesn't take much to think, oh, I'm okay, and then you get home and you look at it a while later and you find out that it's gotten infected, and then it just gets worse from there. So, and, it's always good to keep up on your tetanus shots, too.
Well, I was just going to recommend that. And believe it or not, even go one step further, as we're all getting a little bit older, get yourself a flu shot. It doesn't hurt.
Well, so far, I've been able to stay away from them.
Yeah, well, a lot of people believe that, and it's definitely a misconception and a myth. They feel as if when they get one that they're going to get sick, but that's not true. It's not nothing to do with that.
Right.
If you get sick after, it's just a coincidence. You happen to run into a germ somewhere. Because you don't get sick by being outside without a coat or any of that stuff. That's all make-believe stuff.
Right.
So you have to come in touch with a germ.
Right, yeah. I mean, if like you said, especially with getting older or if you've got a weaker immune system, it never hurts to do that sort of stuff. I mean, I know I've got a lot of gray hair myself, and people think I'm kind of a medical miracle or something. It's hard to keep this much gray hair looking so nice when you're only 21. But, you know, you do what you can.
You work. Yeah, I know. Spray paint, buddy. Spray paint.
That's right.
Good.
I thought about breaking out the can of chrome the other day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh,
let's see.
The old silver fox.
Yeah. And Barb says, flu shot every year.
Yep. I've been getting mine. This will be my fifth year in a row. Why not, right? What the hell?
Well, and if I remember right, it only costs just a few dollars.
Yeah, I think it's like, what, $7, $10, something like that. It's short change when you're thinking that maybe the potential of getting sick lasts more than 7 or 8 days. So,
right. Well, I'm sure that whenever we touch on that topic of the first aid skills and kits and different medical gear that we may like to try and carry with us, that surely Barb will call in and chime in on that. With her background and everything, I'm sure she could add quite a bit to it. So, I guess with that in mind, I'm kind of operating here under a limited scale tonight. It's kind of like somebody poked me in the eye before we went live. So,
in your case, that's not good.
No, that's not. That's kind of like painting your windshield black and driving down the interstate. It's never a good idea. So we should probably go ahead and wrap everything up and get on out of here and see what we come up with for Sunday. We may have some more politics, possibly. Maybe even a report on a new shovel.
Here we go.
Yeah, we'll have to see what happens. So until then, what do you think?
I'd say keep it low and keep it slow.
Well, I would say that works. So we're going to roll on out of here for everyone else. Thanks for dropping by. Thanks for sharing the links. If you get out there and find anything, post up them pictures so we can see them. And we'll see everyone Sunday. Have a wonderful evening, folks.